All right. We've been talking about salvation. Hallelujah. Are you glad you're saved? We looked at it last week. We began to talk about from Hebrews chapter 2. We began to look at verse 3, Hebrews 2 and 3. It told us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So we're talking about what a great salvation. I know a lot of people who are born again, they only understand the salvation as far as meaning that they get to miss hell and make heaven. How many of you know it's good to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How many of you know it's good to know when you breathe your last breath, you're immediately going to be with the Lord? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's good to know that. It's good to know that Jesus went ahead and prepared a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I mean, he's got a home for you. It's ready. Amen? But so that's the salvation part, the new birth part that a lot of people know about. But the Bible says we got to make sure we don't neglect our salvation. And that word salvation is from the word sozo or soteria. There's a few different words, and we looked at that. But I want to look at the word sozo, and if they have that from healing school, Reverend Opal Cruz teaches this every Tuesday at 11. And if you're able to go to healing school, that would be great. And so that word sozo means this. It means... let me find it in my notes. Hallelujah. It means to deliver. It means to protect. It means to heal. It means to preserve. It means to save. It means to do well. And it means to be made whole. So everybody say, I'm delivered. I'm protected. I'm healed. I'm preserved. I'm saved. I'm doing well. And I've been made whole. And so that's all inclusive. Amen. Are you grateful that salvation is all inclusive? It's all inclusive. That's what the word means. And so we talked about the will of God. How many of you know it's the will of God for all men to be saved? Now we look at that and we say all men to be saved, all 7 billion on the planet. Yes, all 7 billion going to heaven. That's the will of God. But everything that salvation is, all of that is the will of God. I said all of that is the will of God. I lost a little enthusiasm there. All of it is the will of God for everybody. Not just one part of it. All of it is available. Amen. And then we saw this, that how do we get it? Well, Ephesians 2, 5 through 8 says it's by grace through faith. It's a free gift. Are you grateful that it's a free gift? How many of you know you can't do, work for it? It's a free gift. Everybody say it's free. It's free, amen? And so it's by grace, then what? Through faith. That means that's the doorway to get it. You've got to receive it. Just like if someone came and was born again, came to an altar to receive Jesus as Savior, the new birth part, we wouldn't have to look at them and say, you know, do you qualify? Because we know what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. It says, if you believe in your heart and do what? Confess with your, you got to do what? You got to believe with your heart and do what? Confess with your mouth. And so if somebody came to receive that, we wouldn't send them away because we say, well, you don't know enough, or you're not good enough, or you've never arrived. You know, come back 10 times. No, if they're ready, then they're ready. As long as they do what? Believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, they will be born again. And so all of salvation is received in the same way. So I want to talk to you about three parts of that. I want to talk to you about doing well. I want to talk to you about being healed, and I want to talk to you about being whole. Everybody say, I'm healed, I'm doing well, and I'm whole. And so these are the three parts I want to look at today. So let's back up a little bit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. It says this, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus was made sin. The Bible said he that knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. He didn't know anything about sin. He wasn't acquainted with sin. He was tempted to sin, but he didn't have any sin. But the Bible said he was made sin. When was Jesus made sin? Y'all know? When was Jesus made sin? It was on the cross. When he was there, he was nailed to the cross. The Bible said he was made to be sin for us. He didn't know any sin because that's before you were born again, sin is all you ever knew. I said sin because you were a sinner. You had the nature of a sinner. You sinned. Why? Because that was your nature. And yet, so that's all you ever knew was sin. But then when you received Jesus as Savior, you were made righteous. When were you made righteous? When you received Jesus, when you believed in your heart, and when you confessed with your mouth. Did you have, what was the only part you had to play to be made righteous? You had to believe, and you had to say. Could you do anything before that to walk in righteousness? Because see, a lot of people say, well, if you just live right, if you just were moral, if you just did more good things than bad things. No, your righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. But his righteousness was given to you. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. It's what he became. So that you could become something. In other words, a transfer happened. He became sin so you could become righteous. Amen? See, you don't have to try and be righteous. You are righteous. You're not a sinner anymore. Well, Pastor Mark, you should live with my husband. I don't know. I don't care. He need to quit acting that way. But he's not. If he's born again, he's not a sinner. And you need to quit labeling him that way. He's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I am righteous. I am. I'm not trying to be. I am. Well, shouldn't you try to be? If I know that I am, I'll act out of what I believe. I said, if I know what I am, I'll act like it. Amen? If I know who I am, I'll act like it. You start doing that with kids. You quit telling them they're stupid and tell them they're smart and they can do anything. Amen? And you lift them up with your words instead of put them down with your words. Amen? It's just the truth. What someone believes. Oh, I don't want to get off on this. But they believed they were grasshoppers. So grasshoppers don't conquer anything. But God told him something different. What did Joshua and Caleb say? They're bred for us. Even though I've never been a warrior before, all I've ever been is a slave, but now God made me a warrior, and they're bred for us. How you see yourself. So what do you say about yourself? So, you need to say, I'm righteous. Now, in the same way, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. Was Jesus rich? Now, I want you to quit thinking of rich as money. But if you understand this, that how many of you know in heaven, the streets are made of gold? How many of you know there's a southern flare up there because they got these big old pillars made of pearl? I mean, the pillars are made of pearl, just kind of like you see in the south, those homes with those great big white pillars. Their pillars in heaven are made of pearl. That's a mighty big oyster. And then what else is going on? Then the whole city's made of gold. The city is a reflection of who the Lord is. Because see, we got to get out of our natural thinking. Your natural thinking means if you're rich, that just has something to do with money. Well, it's just a reflection of who you are. You'll get that one later and you'll go, ah. Oh. Everybody say, so by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became what? That through his poverty, through his poverty, you might be, Jesus became something so you could become something. Jesus became sin so you could become righteous. Jesus became poor so that you could become rich. It's just who you are. It's part of your salvation. Are you saved? Have you received sozo? Or I say it like this, have you been sozoed? Amen? Are you saved? Then you're rich. Well, quit looking at your checkbook to determine who you are. Quit looking at your business to determine who you are. Quit looking at your salary to determine who you are. This is just who you are. When light comes to a room, it doesn't even have to talk to darkness. Darkness just leaves. When Jesus, who is light, when Jesus is salvation, everywhere Jesus went, salvation came. With 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it didn't bother him any because he is salvation and he can make it multiply. they didn't have any wine, but that's all right. He is rich. He is Jesus. He is light. He is life. And so he can turn water into wine without a grape. Because he is rich. Because he is abundance. That's who he reflects that. Everywhere he goes, things change. Has he changed? Is he the same? Has salvation been bought for everybody? Does he want you to have it? So we're compartmentalizing this for teaching, but he is salvation. He is forgiveness of sins. He is the one who made you rich because he decided. Now listen, God could have said, you know what? They're away from me, but those silly humans, I'd like them back. So Jesus, the Word, Son, I'm going to send you back to get them, and I want you to use your blood as a sacrifice, and let's just remove their sin, because I want them back. I want them back. And he did that, but that's only part of what he did. At the same time he was on the cross taking your sin, he became poor. Listen to me. I understand, you know, people have maybe taken prosperity and they run it into a ditch. But I know that people have used a car to kill people, but I'm still going to drive mine. Just because somebody else did something stupid doesn't mean you and I have to be stupid. This is a part of the gospel. This is part of the good news. This is part of your salvation. Come on, are you saved? Then you are rich. I'm not looking anywhere except the Bible to determine if I'm rich. I'm not looking at my checkbook. I tell this all the time. But when I started preaching this, I remember, like, I can take you to the place. We talked about this some last week. I can take you to the place in Oliver, Illinois, at the Methodist Church. I can take you to the spot. I have taken people to the spot. This is where I got born again. It was in the back right corner of the building. It was during the youth group. I was 12 years old, and I could take you to the spot I got born again. Salvation is no-so. And then I can take you to the spot, because see, then I've been preaching for a little bit, and then I became a pastor, and we started with nothing. I started with $900 and a dream. And started over in Austin's Furniture. I gave them, you know, everything I had. He asked me if I had a church, and I said yes. I didn't tell him there were four of us, and one of them was a toddler. But I didn't tell him that. I said I got a church. Yes, I got a church. But I gave him everything I had. And then I remember going through this, expecting, you know, lots of people to show up, and nobody showed up. Expecting though, because the Lord's got to pay my bills. But I remember on Pulaski Pike where I was sitting when the Lord, and I received him as my provider. I literally, the same way I received him as Savior, I received him as provider. And I remember sitting at a big old brown table and the Lord speaking to me after I received him as my provider and him telling me, now I'm going to prosper you and I'm going to teach you how to, prosper others. I'm going to teach you the word in that so that not only you can be prosperous, but others can prosper. And I've been doing it for years. And I've taught others to do it. Now, I don't do it very much myself, but others do it. Why? Because it's part of the gospel. It's part of my salvation. But I can take you to that place on Pulaski Pike where I received him as my provider. And he said to me, I'm going to teach you how to prosper, and I'm going to teach others to prosper. Jesus became poor that I could become, don't be scared, say it. Jesus became poor that I could become what? Are you rich? And it's not just about money, it does include that. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us, that's past tense, right? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Jesus has redeemed me from the curse. What is the curse? Where is it found? Deuteronomy 28 lists the curses and the blessings. And a lot of it has to do with your prosperity. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. You're the head, not the tail. You're above, not beneath. You're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. I mean, he's even going to bless your basket and your store. Why? Because he's redeemed you from the curse of poverty. Now listen to me. Sometimes I get really irritated with people who diminish this part of the gospel. They diminish this part of salvation, saying it's not important. Well, if it's not important, then why did, when the Lord was hanging on the tree, did he become poor? So that tells me that you and I need to do something about this. At the same time he took my sin, he decided that he would become poor, that I would become rich. That's why I tell you all, you are blessed to be a blessing. It's not supposed to stay with you. You are blessed to be a blessing. Come on, say it. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Amen. It's good to be blessed. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich and add no sorrow to you. But you see, it's not supposed to stop with you. You're supposed to be a channel for the blessing to flow through you to bless other people. When did Jesus do it? He did it when he was on the cross. What happened on the cross? The same way he became sin so you could become righteous, he became poor so that you could become rich. He redeemed you. He redeemed you. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12 tells us what he redeemed you with. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption for us all. Redemption, being redeemed, has already been obtained. How? By the blood of Jesus. Because of that blood, you're redeemed from something, redeemed unto something. You're redeemed from sin to righteousness. You're redeemed from sickness and disease unto health. You're redeemed from poverty unto wealth. You are redeemed. Come on, you are redeemed. You are redeemed. Not trying to get redeemed, you are redeemed. All you got to do is receive it. Just like you receive the new birth part, you receive the wealth part that God made for you. He gave you more than enough. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to stand up to your feet. Now, I want this to be meaningful for you. You do it here, but if you need to do it again at home alone, I want you to do this. Just like I did, it changed my life. Listen, I've been preaching this especially as a pastor, for 24 years. I started when I was making $50 a month. $50 a month. Jim tells a story. We were at a men's meeting, and he took his pastor, that's me, and he saw that I had shoes, but that I had holes. I couldn't do anything with it. I did the best I could with where I was, but I had holes in my shoes. So he bought me some new shoes. He tells the story how I came down here and the paint was peeling off my car. But I didn't preach you anything different than I just preached 24 years ago. It will show up. It will show up. Because the word always works. Amen. You stick with the word and the word will stick on you and it'll show up. God is not a man that he should lie. But even after I moved here, I had to receive Jesus as my provider. And I want you to do the same thing I did. So I want one hand lifted up to heaven. We're going to do this, and I want this to be serious out of your heart. I want you to say this after me. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he was raised from the dead. He's my Savior. But today, I take him as my provider. I believe, Jesus, you provide all my needs according to your riches. In glory by Christ Jesus, I receive you as my provider. Not my hands, not my head, not my hard work, but you are my provider. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Jesus is also your healer. Jesus is your healer. Amen. So let's look at this, Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs, he carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. So when Jesus was on the tree, he took your sin. Why? So you could become righteous. That we being dead to sins, in other words, I'm dead now to my sins. What am I doing? I should live under righteousness. What causes me to live under righteousness? Because Jesus took my sin. And then it says, by whose stripes you were healed. And Matthew 8:17 said, Jesus, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your ears. I know and you know that when Jesus laid his back open over the whipping post before he went to the cross, they took the cat of nine tails and they striped him where they beat him beyond human recognition. And that's when he took every sickness, every disease unto himself. And he decided, the Lord decided, not only was he going to save you, not only was he going to bless you, but he was also going to heal you. He didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to do any of that. But to him, it's a package deal. Because that's what sozo means. It means to save, it means to do well, and it means to heal. God wants you physically well. Everybody say, Jesus is my healer. I want to show you even in the Word of God how the word sozo and healing is interchangeable. Let's look at the woman with the issue of blood, Mark chapter 5, verse number 28. For she said, the woman with the issue of blood, if I can but touch his clothes, I shall be sozo. I'll be healed. I'll be healed. I'll be healed. I'll be healed. That word there is healing. Salvation. Verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made thee, that word whole, that's the word, that's salvation word. Go in peace and be whole, that's the salvation word again, of thy plague. So I want you to see it's interchangeable there. Salvation, healing, being made whole, that's part of it. And then Jim was talking about Jairus in Luke chapter 8. Mark chapter 5, verse 23. It said, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray, come lay your hands on her, that she may be, that word healed, that is the word of salvation. Same word. So can you see, and she will live. And then I want to look what else he said in a minute. But can you see, that word is interchangeable. When Jesus spoke, he used the word for salvation. When people spoke, listen, the woman with the issue of blood had to hear that Jesus was talking about salvation. Because she said, if I can touch him, I'll be saved. That's the same word. And be made whole. It was interchangeable to them because she heard that Jesus was saying that. Because he is salvation. Because salvation has come. And all he said salvation... He's bringing all that salvation is. And everywhere that Jesus went, what did he do? He multiplied things. Why? Because he's salvation. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed. He raised the dead. Why? Because he's salvation. When salvation shows up, something else has got to go. The law of displacement. When light comes, darkness has got to leave. When salvation comes, sickness has got to go. When salvation comes, sickness has to go. It's got to go. Something's got to give, and it's not going to be God. Amen. So we got to believe that. Amen. So let's look at the other one, Luke 8:50. But when Jesus heard it, remember Jairus, remember what happened? Somebody came and said, don't trouble the master any further. She's dead. Be careful who you hang with. Amen. Good thing Jesus was saying it right there. Because he answered him and said, fear not. Don't be afraid. Believe only. And she shall be made, what is that word? Salvation. 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 In other words, I just want you to see how interchangeable it is. Acts chapter 14, verse 9. Paul was preaching about salvation. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholded him, perceiving that he had faith to do what? Receive salvation. That word healed is salvation. It's just interchangeable. So I'm here to tell you, and I know some of you know this, but you have to keep this in your heart. The Bible said this in Hebrews 2:3. It says, don't neglect your salvation. when it comes to this part of salvation, especially if you've heard this again and again. What do? Is we nod like the dog in the window. What do? We're like, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. But listen to me. I've known you human beings, especially as a pastor, for 24 years. And human beings, just like, because I do the same thing. What do when everything's okay? We watch a little football, go a little shopping, watch a movie. But when crisis comes, what do? Oh, Jesus, help me. We get into that word, man. We dig. Rev it up. Calling all the prayer towers. Rev it up. We got a crisis. How many of you know, and in a crisis, how many, aren't you grateful God answers? But how are you and I supposed to live? The just shall live by, we're supposed to be doing this every day, right? And I tell you this from experience, during the middle of a hurricane is not the time to try to build a house. During the middle of a hurricane is not the time to try to build your healing house. We should be living this every day. Because the just shall do what? Live by faith. This is just how we live. And so when it comes to healing, aren't you glad every day? Because maybe you don't think about it every day. But if you did think about it every day, aren't you glad you're going to heaven when you die? Are you glad your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you glad there's a mansion there waiting for you? Are you glad you're going to be with the Lord forever? Amen. But also, when it comes to your wealth, that's just who you are. In the same manner, Jesus laid his back open and took stripes so you could be healed every day. How do you know you're going to be healed? Just like I can't look at my checkbook and determine if I'm wealthy, I look at the word. I look at Jesus, and it'll catch up to me. Just like healing, though, I want to start now. Let's walk in this now. And so I tell you the same thing. I remember in my mom and dad's farmhouse where I was. I had been, when I was a freshman in high school, I had had some stomach problems for a year. I had them, wouldn't tell anybody because my cousin had passed away with cancer, and I didn't know the difference between God and the devil's voice, and the devil had obviously convinced me that I had cancer and I was going to die too. So I wouldn't tell anybody because my family had been through enough. So I just passed out at school. I had a number of things going on in my life, just wasn't a very happy child. And so I passed out at school. So I ended up having colonitis and some different things. And I got a little bit better through medication. And I learned how to manage it. But then when I came to the Lord, I got healed. So I didn't have any more symptoms anymore. Well, after I got out of Bible school, I came back to my hometown and I began to be a traveling minister. Well, the symptoms started flaring up big time. I mean, I was having trouble with everything I ate. And on the road, you just don't have control over what you eat. You put whatever they put in front of you, you say amen, and you eat it. And I was having a lot of trouble. Well, with that, I remember sitting at my mom and dad's dining room table in the dining room. I could take you to the, if whoever owns it now did not change the carpet, I could take you to the place where even after being a preacher, I received Jesus as, I had experienced healing, but I received him as my healer. From that day forward, he was the first person I was going to look to for healing. I wasn't going to look to a pill. Those are fine. I wasn't going to look to a doctor. Those are great. But he was my healer. And I began to learn how to walk in divine health. Have I had some challenges over the year? Yes. Just because you have a challenge doesn't mean he's not the healer. So I can take you where, I mean, it changed my life. It changes your thought process. Just like my thought process has changed. I don't identify myself as a sinner anymore. I identify myself as righteous. I don't identify myself as poor. I don't care how much money I have. I've lived this where I didn't have any money. When Rhonda and I got married, she married into a wealthy preacher of $250 a month. I was $200 a week by then. I think it was $200 a week. I mean, woo! You know, and we knew, and the Lord told her not to get a job. And she could have worked, but that's how he told us to do it. Made some people mad around us. But we learned how to believe God. Listen to me. I got excited. The BOGO, buy one, get one free at Hardee's became my salvation, or McDonald's. At least I could get a burger once a week for free. And you may be there. But you know what? We only do coupons today because she likes them. Not because we have to. But she don't like to throw away money. So that's good. But I'm telling you, it caught up. That part caught up. And the same thing with healing. Don't wait till you get into a crisis. Don't wait. Because Jesus is your healer now. So are you ready to receive him as your healer? Stand up. One hand to heaven. Hallelujah. Say this. Say, Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I've received him as my Savior. But right now, I believe that the stripes Jesus took on his back were for my healing. And Jesus, I receive you as my healer. I look to you for my health, for my wholeness. And I thank you for it. By grace, through faith, I receive you. Salvation, healing, wholeness for my body. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible talks about you're a three-part being. And so one part of salvation is wholeness. And when I think about wholeness, I think of every part of your life. The Lord, through salvation, has taken care of every part of your life. He said he wants to preserve you spirit, soul, and body. The Lord wants to save all of you. Even your mind, even your will, even your emotion. Maybe you've had a damaged emotions. Maybe you've had a hard life. Maybe, you know, you've just been dinged up. Maybe some bad things have happened. Well, you can have your soul saved. Every part of you he wants saved. 3 John 2 said, Beloved, I wish or I pray that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What is that? That's a wholeness. That's a soundness. That's nothing missing. That's nothing broken. The Lord wants to take care of you all. And then remember the 10 lepers. Remember how they, you know, were asking Jesus to heal them? And he told them to go show yourself to the priest. And remember, and as they went, they were healed. And then one turned around, noticing that he was healed, and he came back and worshiped the Lord and thanked him. And what does it say in Luke chapter 17, verse 17 through 19? Luke 17, 17 through 19, Jesus answered, said, Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory of God, said the stranger, verse 19. And he said unto him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made thee, that word whole is salvation. Now, you say, well, he was healed. Well, he was healed, but then anything that he was missing came back. If his fingers were gone, they came back. I believe if his nose was missing, it came back. But I also believe because this man was squirreled away, so to speak, from all society, now he can go back into society. He can be with his family. He can be with his friends. He can work again. He can be a part of society again. He was made whole. Now, the others, it stopped, but how many know being whole, completely whole, is way better? And so that's part of your salvation. Acts chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, about the man at the gate called Beautiful again. It says, In this day we examine the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole. That word is salvation. Be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. That word whole is salvation. Now, what do I know about this man? He was begging alms. In other words, all he could do with his life was beg. How many of you know the begging days are over? His begging days are over. His poverty days are over. In other words, he can have a whole life again that he's never had. not again. He's never had a whole life. He's never had a life. Jesus not only saves so you can go to heaven. Jesus not only saves so that you can be free from poverty. Jesus not only saves so that you can be free from sickness and disease. Jesus saves so you can be whole. Don't accept anything in your life except salvation. Doesn't that sound simple? Are you saved? Then all that salvation is, it's all inclusive. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. So I want you to stand up. Let's be like King David, and we'll do this in just a minute. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. What are his benefits? What are his benefits? Verse 3, are you grateful all your iniquities are forgiven? Are you glad you're not a sinner anymore? I said, are you glad you're not a sinner anymore? He heals all your diseases. All your diseases. No matter what they are, he heals them all. Verse 4. He redeemed. Are you glad you redeemed? What did he redeem you from? We looked at that today. He redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Are you ready to do well? Good things. So your youth is renewed like the eagle. I think we ought to be like David. I think we ought to do a little blessing of the Lord today. Come on, bless the Lord. Father, I thank you that you've healed me. I thank you that you've forgiven me. I thank you that you crowned my life with love and kindness and tender mercies. We're so grateful for everything you've done. We receive Jesus as Savior. We receive Jesus as Provider. We receive Jesus as Healer. And we receive Jesus, the one who makes us whole. Thank you, Lord, that you made us whole. Thank you, Lord, that you made us whole, whole, whole.